Luke 24, verse 36 up to verse 49. I have asked Ulrich to do the scripture reading. So the part that we are going to read is Luke 24, verse 36 up to verse 49.
While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubt rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, that the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Thank you, Ulrich. This is the word of our Lord. And just to say what I did last week as well, and I'm going to help the young children as well. I want you to not just sit here and do your own thing. I would love you and guide you in the word of God. So therefore, I'm asking the children again, if you have any questions at the end before we look at everything and conclude it, I'm going to ask you if there's questions. So even though you might be scared, I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to try and help you to explain and answer that question. So there's not that many children, but there are a few of you here. So if there's a question of what we've read, please, I want one question on this side and one question on the other side. So to help the boys and the girls, here's some questions in advance for you to answer. When did this all happen, what we read in Luke 24? When did it happen? What was the few things that happened on this day? And the last question, don't worry if you forget it. I will help you through the sermon. If you listen, you will be able to answer. What was Jesus' teaching after his resurrection? What was Jesus' teaching after his resurrection? Let's see what the scripture is helping us today with. The first thing we need to know, it is the Sunday, the resurrected Sunday, the very Sunday where a few of the ladies went to the tomb and was really ready to see Jesus, and they didn't find him. Remember what happened then? Two angels spoke to him and said, "He's not here." And they said, "Please show us, where is he?" And he said, "He is alive, he's not here." They ran back to the other disciples and told them what they have heard. Then also, Peter decided, wait, I need to go investigate myself. And Peter went there himself. Now, Luke is not telling us if Peter was spoken to. Luke is telling us again that the only thing that Peter saw was that the tomb was empty. In the piece that we are reading here, just before this event happened, two people was walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a town not far away, disappointed in what happened with Jesus being crucified, Jesus died, And they were so disappointed, walking away from it. And on their way, Jesus walked with them. The crucified, risen Jesus walked with them, and they didn't recognize him. Where we start the story, these people went back to Jerusalem after they realized it was Jesus. He's alive. And they were talking, and they spoke about Jesus, and they spoke of what happened. And in that moment, Jesus was with them. They could not see Jesus for who he was. Though they've already, three different situations, has had an experience of Jesus is alive, he's not here. Now they've seen Jesus for 3 years. They've lived with Jesus for 3 years. Why didn't they recognize Jesus when he was a resurrected person? The very first thought that Luke says is they thought he was a ghost. And for that reason, Luke said, Jesus said, come and touch. So they literally went to Jesus, touched him, and saw, well, he isn't a ghost. And they were filled with joy, Luke tells us. And still they didn't know what to do. What we need to do is to think of the glorified body of Christ. Was that why they didn't see Jesus for who he was? I think I would have been shocked as well, because the idea of someone being dead and then being alive. So Jesus is alive, and Jesus is for the first time teaching them about the resurrection. Jesus is teaching them after his resurrection. He is continuing with his teaching because they could not see Jesus for whom he was. Now, after Jesus has showed them his hands and his feet, they still didn't believe. And then Jesus says, I'm hungry. Now, how will a ghost eat fish? No. It was the body, it was the resurrected Jesus who is suddenly teaching them what was written in the scriptures, what was written in the law of Moses, what was written in the prophets and in the Psalms. What you are seeing here is the real thing. It is me. Everything I've taught you before I was crucified and before I've died, it's true. It is me. It's me standing here. Jesus told them, this will happen. So you remember, if you go back before the crucifixion, Jesus prepared them that he was going away and that he's going to suffer and that he's going to die, and they still couldn't grasp it. It just didn't make sense. Why, Jesus? And then in verse 45, you will see that in verse 45, where it says, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. So after he's teaching about what the law says, what the prophet says, and what the psalm says, suddenly they saw Jesus for who he was. Jesus has opened up their minds so that in their thinking, what was unlogic for them, suddenly, well, it is him. It is him. The Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scripture. What of scripture did they need to understand? Of scripture, they had to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, that he will suffer, that he will die, and that he will rise again. They did not understand it, but this was the first time that it was like, wow, Jesus is alive. So why did Jesus have to die? to deal with what? And our passage is helping us if we read it a little bit further. From verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Here's the big change. The big change is the event of Easter, the crucifixion, the resurrection has happened. And now Jesus is saying the death of this all is repentance and forgiveness of sin to everyone, every nation. And you are my witnesses." And in the very last verse that we read there, that Luke is telling them, he says, "You are my witnesses," verse 48, verse 49. "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from high." So again, Luke is telling them, stay in Jerusalem, because God is going to help you and my Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. So that when the Spirit, when the power from above is in you, you will be my witnesses right across the world. So in this passage, I've asked the children, when did it happen? I gave you an answer very early when I started. It happened on what day? Can any one of the children tell me what day did these events happen?
Sunday.
The Sunday. Can you tell me what Sunday it was? I'm putting you on the spot. Can anyone else tell us what Sunday was it? Yes.
The Easter Sunday.
It was the Sunday, the very first Sunday when Jesus arose. Why did they celebrate that Sunday? Because of the resurrection. Now we have to ask the question. This is the story that happened with Jesus, that Luke is helping us to revisit. But Luke is also giving us Jesus' final instructions. This is Jesus' final instructions. Go out and tell people to repent and tell them about forgiveness of sins and go out to everyone. This is Jesus' final final words and instructions. Let's just quickly have a look at repentance, because here is something that the text says, but we have to add something else there. So it's repentance, conversion, forgiveness. So there's the three ones. So Jesus is only talking about repentance, forgiveness of sins. There's another one that happens. If you repent, there's a conversion, because you have received the forgiveness of sin. So let's just quickly have a look at repentance, conversion, and forgiveness. Repentance, conversion, and forgiveness was dominant in Jesus' teaching. So after Jesus has been resurrected, his teaching was not different from his teaching before he was crucified. It was the same message, but if you look back to Jesus' ministry, everywhere that he helped people, if he even healed people, he said, come on, stop sinning and go and worship God, follow me, follow the instructions that I've given you. Also, Jesus' apostles and evangelists in the time after him also asked people, repent, and you will be forgiven of your sins. So people was called up to conversion. And even before Jesus, John the Baptist asked people to repent, and their sins will be forgiven. So repentance is linked to sin and forgiveness. Repentance, if we look into Luke is one of the only writers in the New Testament who says that the repentant criminal on the cross was one who was asking Jesus to forgive him. The one on the cross, what he asked Jesus, "Have mercy on me," implied forgiveness and salvation. Luke is also the only one who says that while Jesus was on the cross in Luke 23:34, that he said, "Father, forgive them for what they do because they don't know what they are doing." The prodigal son is the story of repentance and forgiveness. Let's just ask the question, what is repentance? Repentance is turning one's back on one's past. Repentance, so if Jesus says, go out to the world and tell them to repent, repentance is to turn away from my own ways, of my own individual ways, and realizing that God wants me to see Jesus for who Jesus is. It's a conviction and it's a commitment from my side. It moves the individual believer from his or her own ways, her own beliefs, involved in the real change of life. So Jesus is not just telling people, repent, turn around and continue. Jesus says, repent, turn away from your own ways, focus on me and what I want you to do. And now we can say, okay, if this is Jesus' instructions for us to go and tell everyone, how do we do it? Is it just for the people out there who are sinners that we have to tell them, come on, you need to repent, you need to be part of this, you need to see this? Luke is reminding us, and we see it with the disciples and the followers of Jesus on this very Sunday. We are all in need of repentance. We are all in need of repentance. And in Luke's gospel, Luke says, it's rich people, it's poor people, it's everyone. As Jesus is instructing you, go and tell it to everyone. No one is excluded. Each person has her and his specific sinfulness and enslavement. So Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is teaching them, listen, yeah, that's not where you have to stay. You don't have to stay in your sinfulness and your enslavement. I am the one who can liberate you and will liberate you. I am the one who will set you free. Let's look at the word that happens with someone who repents, conversion. What is conversion? Conversion for Jews was when they accepted Jesus as Messiah. And for Gentiles, when they turned away from their idols to faith in Jesus. This is the call of Jesus, saying, go out and be my witnesses and repent so that you can be part of the believers that you have faith in Jesus. Those who repent, whose sins are forgiven, experience salvation. So the forgiveness of sin, the conversion, repentance before that, when I'm doing that, I experience salvation. And that is the aim of repentance and forgiveness. The aim of repentance and forgiveness is to lead us into salvation. So Jesus, with love, with kindness, with openness, helping them not just to see the marks, not just to feel him, not just to see him eating, but Jesus is teaching them and helping them and then, wow, opening their minds. This is why I came, so that you can be in a relationship with me, in a situation of salvation, where you've accepted the fellowship and the new life. So it's not just repent and turn and okay, now I'm a Christian. The challenge for us and that Jesus is teaching us, the repentance and forgiveness of sin is also a connectedness into new life with other Christians. So it's not just telling people to repent, it's making people part of the body of Christ, serving them, loving them, and caring for them. Salvation is the reversal of evil consequences of sin against God and against our neighbor. What does the following of Jesus mean? The following of Jesus means it's not just your heart or your head or your private personal relationship that must change. It is always a change to the loving God with all of your heart and your neighbors. It's not just a head change. It's not just a heart change. It's a new way of thinking and being. Let's stop there with the scripture and then we're going to apply it in another way to help us to make it as our own. So I've asked the children a few questions. Let's just hear if there's any questions from the text that we've heard that the children wants to ask. Maybe we can answer that. Any questions from Luke 24 that we've read? Yes. Yeah, so if you read that verse just before that, Jesus said what was said of the law. The law was important for them. The prophets was important for them. The Psalms were important for them. Suddenly, everything that the Psalms and the law and everything is saying about the Messiah, Jesus opened that for them to see that. They could see that Jesus is real. He is the Messiah. So the scriptures of what is saying who the Messiah is, who Jesus is. Someone else on this side? Are we going to get a question on this side? Yes. Does Jesus confirm ghosts somewhere? No. Because it's not Jesus saying they thought he was a ghost. Luke looked at these people standing there. So it's not Jesus saying, oh, there's ghost. No. They thought Jesus is a ghost. How can Jesus be dead and now he's here? Is that your question?
He said that ghosts don't have flesh or bone.
He says that ghost doesn't have flesh or bone. So your question is, help me to understand you correct. Oh, I don't know about those ghosts. I can't tell. That's a good question. It's not important for us because we don't believe in ghosts and that they play a role in us. They are evil spirits, but we are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ and we've got salvation in Jesus and that's what we have to hold on. So I don't think this passage wants to tell us something about ghosts. It's more what they've experienced and how they felt. So let's apply this. Thank you, Paige. Why do we share this? Because what does it mean to be missional? This is the final instructions of Jesus. We as witnesses and believers, people who have accepted Jesus, people who have part in the forgiveness of sin and part in salvation, we have to be intentional about God's mission in this world. It's not just something that will happen. As church, we need to be intentional as followers of Jesus to always know we are linked to Jesus, we are linked to God, and God's final instruction through Jesus before he went away was, "This is my call for you. Go out and be my witnesses." Missional people are always, as a church, intentional. One thing that we see here is that when they saw Jesus, it was transforming them. Now, this is very, very important, because if Jesus did every good works that he did, and he lived on earth, and he wasn't seen after death, and he was just dead and buried, and then a lot of people would just say he was a good man who did a lot of good work and some miracles. The fact that he's risen again was back in the scriptures. It said that it transformed their way of thinking, their way of being. It's all about Jesus, the resurrected one. Jesus is the Lord, and that is the change in our hearts and our minds. That is the transformation that's going on in our hearts. Jesus is real. He lives. God has brought Jesus to us, and God is real. He is the center of what we think and do. That is why Jesus opened their minds, so that they could see his teachings before he died and his teachings afterwards, so that we can be reconciled with God. The third one that this passage helps us as well is that God in the flesh has come and helped us to be reconciled with him, reconciled with each other, and reconciled with creation. The last one that we've seen here, and that Jesus is encouraging us, and that the rest of the gospel is helping us as well, is that when we are missional and listening to this call, it's always relational. It's always about God and our neighbor. It's always about the message of love, of people struggling with their own emotions and fears, but Jesus setting the example there of speaking into people's pain, changing people, helping people, that he's got authority over death, over sin, over evil, to help us to have new life. Friends, here's the challenge for us. We, as Church of Jesus Christ, need to know that this final instructions is for all of us. And we can't say that this is nothing to do with me. It's only for some people. Once you have confessed that Jesus is your Lord, you've part of the forgiveness of sin, and then you've got part of the salvation in our Lord. May the Lord help you to live with this, and may the Lord encourage you in your witness on a daily basis, because of Jesus is real, Jesus live, and therefore I'm alive with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you that we can listen to your word. Thank you that we can spend time in your word. Thank you for Jesus' teaching before he was crucified. Thank you for him who has nailed it on the cross and afterwards has helped us to really, really understand it through the Spirit, that what Jesus came to do. Jesus, thank you for forgiving us our sins. Thank you for showing us that you love us. Thank you that you are giving us part of you, so that we can follow in your footsteps. Help us, Father. And give us the courage through your Spirit to be your witnesses here in Margate, where we work in Hobart, where we work in Tassie, where we socialize, where we play, where we live. We belong to the real Jesus, the one who was crucified, the one who died, the one who rose again, and the one who's instructing us to share this gospel with everyone across the world. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.